Chapter 30. Adamantua. Laurentius regained consciousness. He knew at once he was pitifully injured. His neck, throat, and chin were wet with the torrents of blood that were leaking from his ears and nose. There was pain in his joints and organs that he was sure would be crippling him into immobility if his nerves weren't so dulled. He hauled himself to his feet. The tech adept was dead, and most of Laurentius's apparatus flickered empty with equivalent lifelessness. Major Nyman lay sprawled on the chamber floor nearby, twitching and moaning. A terrible noise rumbled from above ground. The whole structure shook from repeated detonations and impacts. Laurentius had lived through fearful events in the previous 6 weeks, and that had included the most appalling climatic upheavals and gravitational storms. They had been nothing compared to this tumult. Leaning on the oozing wall of the blister nest tunnel for support, he dragged his way towards the surface to see for himself what new ordeal had been visited upon them. Noise bursts continued to reverberate through the ruined nest. He could hear what seemed like gargantuan war horns, too, war horns sounding out long, braying, raucous, apocalyptic notes. The end of the world. The end of this world. It was about time. They had suffered enough. Laurentius came out onto the surface, into the dank twilight and the rain, and cowered in the mouth of the tunnel. He gazed in wonder at the stockade and the world beyond. The moon filled the sky. The stockade was on fire and overrun. Around him, in the smoke and lashing rain, he could see figures in yellow, imperial fists, locked in furious battle, grossly outnumbered. The place was swarming with orcs. Laurentius had never seen a living one close up. He had only examined preserved specimens brought back from the frontier. He didn't really understand what he was looking at. Where had the orcs come from? What part did they play in the disaster overwhelming Adamantua? Were they another byproduct threat that had spilled onto the planet because of the subspace realm, like the Chromes? Laurentius struggled. He knew he was hurt and that his mind wasn't clear enough for reasoned consideration. The noises hurt so much. He wished he could make sense of it. Orcs. Orcs. Slowly but surely, terror began to permeate his numbed body. The intellectual issues ebbed away. For the first time since he had faced down the Chrome warrior form in the tunnel, he felt true mortal jeopardy. In life, in the stinking flesh, the orcs were colossal. Every single one of them was as big as a space marine. They simply radiated weight and power from the huge knotted masses of their shoulders to their tree-like forearms and wrecking ball fists. Laurentius had never seen creatures express such manifest strength and density by simply existing. They were muscle and power, they were fury and rage, they were raw noise and brute strength. They were truly monsters. They were armored in metals and hides, but the armor was nothing like as crude as he had imagined it would be. Hauberks and shoulder guards were expertly woven from steel wire and reinforced animal skin or synthetic fiber fabrics. Seams were precise. The level of ornamentation was marvelous. Shields were studded and curved for impact resilience, and some of them smoked with heat and ozone, revealing they were self-powered with built-in kinetic fields. The weapons, clamped in prodigious fists, were the immense burnished cleavers and swords of frost giants, not the crude blades of ogres. The huge caliber firearms were of eccentric design, yet superb craftsmanship. The orcs had dyed and painted their green flesh with powders and inks, making intricate tribal designs and motifs. Laurentius wished he could understand what each of the marks and stripes and handprints signified. There was something primevally shocking about an orc head, dusted in white or pale blue powder, its eyes glistening, its mouth splitting open to expose splintered yellow tusks and rotting molars, its maw shocking pink and covered in spittle. It was an atavistic thing. The orc was the primordial predator that man had fled from when he had lived in caves. It was the beast, the uber-myth behind all other monsters. It was the murderous face of man's oldest, purest terror. The monsters barked, roared and bellowed as they attacked, their tusked open jaws as massive as those of Grox. They hacked and slammed their blades into the warriors of the Shield Corps, ripping Adeptus Astartes' ceramite plate asunder. Every blow resounded like a thunderclap, like a slap to the face. The rain sprayed off everything, bouncing off armor, helms, and blades, mixing with blood, flooding the ground, splashing underfoot. Dazed, Laurentius stepped backwards. He trembled. He knew there had been long ages in imperial history when the green-skin tribes had posed the greatest of all threats to the security, the continued existence of the Imperium of Mankind. He'd always presumed this was simply a result of their sheer numbers, their ubiquity. He'd never considered the orcs to have any potency as a species. They were little more than animals, mindless and unskilled, mobbing in the fringes of the stars, an endless supply of cannon fodder for imperial guns in the frontier wars. They were not a genuine threat, not like the malevolent forces of the archenemy, or the threat of heretical civil war, or even the genius machinations of the Eldar. Those were dangers to be taken seriously. The orcs were a joke, an annoyance, a bothersome chore. They were an infestation that had to be managed, cut back, and kept down. They were not a critical hazard. They were not this. He understood now. Laurentius understood. He understood why past eras of mankind had lived in fear of the greenskins for centuries, why the frontier wars had raged forever, why the periodic wars had been threats that had caused the entire populations of colonized systems to evacuate and flee, why the prospect of a credible war boss and his horde was something that could make a sector governor or a war master quake. He understood why, more than any other accomplishment of the Great Crusade, the God Emperor had been so determined to stop the greenskin threat dead at Ulanor. He understood why the orcs were an eternal menace that could never be ignored. He just didn't understand how they could be 6 warp weeks from the Terran core. He looked up. The rain hit his face, washing blood out of his beard. He stared at the manifested moon. Its machined, pockmarked, plated surface was orc technology. He could see that. How? How had they done this? The moon whirred. Surface features moved and adjusted. Vast armor-plating structures realigned. Shutters the size of inland seas opened and folded. A huge maw appeared. The stylized image of a vast and monstrous orc face manifested on the surface of the rogue moon. Its eyes burned with magmatic light from the moon's core. Its titanic, tusked mouth stretched wide open, and it bellowed at the world below, the loudest and biggest noise burst of all. It was like a pagan god screaming at a sacrificial offering. I am slaughter. Laurentius shuddered. He was having difficulty standing up. A hand grabbed at his arm. It was Nyman.
What are you doing?
Nyman yelled.
Get into cover!
At least one of the rampaging beasts nearby had spotted the Magos biologist. It was coming for him through the rain, shield and cleaver raised. Nyman fired several shots at it with his pistol and then began to drag Laurentius back into the tunnels. The orc came after them. As it entered the confines of the blister nest duct, its roaring screams began to echo and resound. Nyman stopped and fired at it again. The orc advanced. Laurentius could smell it. It seemed to fill the tunnel, head down, shoulders hunched. The rasping tone of its voice was deep, deeper than any human voice.
Run!
Nyman told the Magos biologist. Laurentius tried to obey, but he wasn't very good at it. Nyman had pulled a grenade from his battle dress pouch. He primed it and hurled it at the advancing monster. The blast brought a section of tunnel down, either burying the orc or driving it back. Nyman and Laurentius picked themselves up and struggled back towards the Magos' chamber.
We're finished,
Nyman said.
Did you see their numbers?
Laurentius realized he could hear the Major quite clearly because the Major had opened the faceplate of his orbital armor. Laurentius could hear something else, something tinny and thin crackling out of the man's helmet set.
Your vox is working, Laurentius said.
What?
Your vox?
Nyman noticed the noise.
Yes, I suppose it is. The signal's live again.
Laurentius thought feverishly. He sank to his knees in front of his bank of devices and instruments and began to reset and adjust them. White noise screens flickered back into life. He had resolution on several of them and data flows.
Some of them had burned out entirely, but many were functioning better than they had done in weeks.
There's still gross interference from the noise bursts, Laurentius said as he worked, but the gravitational storm has eased. Yes, look, look.
Nyman crouched beside him.
We've got Vox banding again, he said, and data sequences.
Exactly, said Laurentius. All the while the moon was in transition from wherever it came from. There were colossal levels of gravitational disruption. The storm itself, the whole of Adamantua was stricken with it. Most tech was as good as useless. The Major's biologist glanced at Nyman. But now the moon is here. Now it is fully manifested. The gravitational flare has subsided. We have a little technology back on our side. Major, can you contact your fleet?
Nyman had already pulled his helmet's vox jack out of his armor and was connecting it to the battered voxcaster unit that formed part of Laurentius's equipment stack. He plugged it through to use as a range booster. Static fizzed from the speakers.
Azimuth! Azimuth!
He called.
Azimuth Task Force Control, this is Nyman. Repeat, this is Nyman. Surface drop. Do you read me?
This is Azimuth,
the vox crackled out.
The command ship,
Nyman told Laurentius.
Azimuth,
he said into the vox.
We found survivors from the original undertaking, but none of us are going to live long. There are orcs everywhere. Full invasion force. Unimaginable numbers.
Reading you, Nyman. Orc threat identified orbitally already. Extraction of your personnel not viable at this time.
Azimuth! Azimuth!
There was a pause.
Stand by, surface, the vox hissed. I have the Lord Commander for you, vox to vox.
A different voice suddenly came over the speakers.
Nyman, it's Heth.
Great throne man, you're alive. Just about, sir. It's not looking good.
What strengths have you got down there?
Virtually nothing, sir. The Imperial fists are decimated. We're overrun and being murdered. Sir, do not drop or try to reinforce us. You could put every scrap of the ground forces at our disposal planetside, and you would still never take this world back. I've never seen greenskins in these numbers.
Understood, Nyman, Heth replied. To be brutally honest, a surface assault was not a likely possibility. We're in the middle of a void fight. Assault drop not an option.
Laurentius pulled at Nyman's arm.
Let me talk to him, he said.
Nyman hesitated.
Sir,
he said into the vox,
I have the Major's biologist from Chapter Master Mirren's original undertaking mission here. He wants to speak to you.
Put him on, Nyman.
Nyman threw a switch on the caster and handed Laurentius the handset.
My lord, my name is Laurentius, Major's biologist.
I hear you, Laurentius.
Sir, if I may be so bold,
said Laurentius,
you need to do two things. You need, as an absolute priority, to communicate this emergency to Terra. This is just the beginning. Adamantua is not a high-priority target. Whatever mechanism the Greenskins have used to bring their attack moon through subspace, Adamantua is simply a convenient stepping stone, a resting point. Maybe it's a matter of range limit or power generation. Whatever. They will mass again from here. They will perhaps bring other planetoids through.
Throne. How do you know, Majors?
I don't, sir. I'm speculating. But we have to prepare for the worst contingency. Yesterday we did not know they could do this. Tomorrow we will learn what else they can do, and it will be too late. Sir, you have to transmit a full disclosure warning to Terra. I have some equipment here. I have been trying for weeks to translate the noise bursts. Now we have confirmed the identity of the Xenos threat, I can narrow my linguistic programs to include what data we have on record of orc syntax and vocabulary values. Sir, I need to open a direct data link between your primary codifiers and my resources here. If we work fast, you may be able to include, in your urgent warning to Terra, some actual detail regarding the Greenskin intention and operation.
How so, Majors? Heth asked.
By learning, sir, what they are telling us.